and welcome to the 13th episode of Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the episode Betrayal. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen, and with me
is the other host, Amanda Konkin. It's nice to talk to you again, folks. We're
back for a pretty solid episode.
Yeah.
Show can be a little bit of a roller coaster ride sometimes. We kind of go up and down and up and down. Last week was okay, but I mean, I don't know. We got a lot of response that was defensive Count Vertigo, but we also got a few people saying like, kind of agree, right?
But this episode made up for that.
But this episode made up for it, yeah. So. And I'll talk about that when we get into the episode proper. But let's do something new. Let's do something different from normal because we've been lucky enough to have several emails come in and several emails with important information.
So thank you.
Yes, thank you guys so much. So first off, let's do a news segment because that's one thing that people have been asking for.
And
we don't really do it. We don't do it as a separate thing. We kind of talk about stuff,
but we don't do it as a thing.
But we don't sit down and say news.
Open with news, exciting.
Yeah. So so first off, let's talk about the fact that we're going to have a break, a 2-week break coming up.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the end of February. Will be the last episode, the 27th, and then we won't be back. There's going to be 2 Wednesdays without episodes. So we'll be back the 3rd Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever day the episode ends up getting published. But yeah, so just so you guys are aware.
Have us for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so you'll be, and that coincides with the end of Clone Wars for the season. So I am going to take I think, well-deserved 2 weeks off and rest up a little bit.
And
it's been intense. Like, it's been crazy. But Amanda is not.
And I'm not, no. And I'm so excited that we have a break from Quiver because my show is opening in those 2 weeks. And it's just like, it's like the universe knew. So it's a show here in Vancouver. It's called Maladjusted. It's completely unrelated to sci-fi. It's about the mental health system by patients and caregivers with Headlines Theater. So I'm really excited to be doing that. But it opens those 2 weeks and I'm just going to be in chaos for 2 weeks. So I'm really excited that we have a break and we're back. March 20th then is the next episode in March. Cool. So that's exciting.
Cool. So if you got, if anybody is near Vancouver,
come check out the show. It's fabulous. You can talk to me and see the show and it's really great. And there's interactive stuff that you can watch all around the world as well. Actually, I'll probably start talking about that later in February where I think it's really cool. It's what I studied in my thesis is the use of interactive media to get involved in live theater performance.
Which is one of the reasons why we're doing a podcast is because this is completely interactive media because here we are doing news because you guys want news, not because it's something that we thought that we should do, but because it's something that you guys are asking for.
So,
and you're also supplying us with news. So, because we got one email, and it talked about the fact that, you're the bigger Doctor Who.
I am. I'm so excited. So they've cast Laurel's mom and it's Alex Kingston. I'm sorry, let's just give that a second to sink in. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I don't want to spoil Doctor Who, so I can't say, the big thing about Alex Kingston.
No, but River Song.
But River Song, so from Doctor Who, is coming on board as what I think will be the Black Canary, but that's just me.
Yeah.
She's coming on as Dinah Lance, right? Because Laurel is Dinah Laurel Lance, and Dinah Lance then would be her mom, at least speculatively, right? So I just think that that is such an epic crossover, and obviously her and John Barrowman have to have a moment because that would just be the epic Doctor Who.
So do you think that that's the connection? Do you think that's why she got cast?
I didn't really think of that. They've never really shared
the screen though, right?
No, it's different because he wasn't really in anything with River Song. So because she was mostly in the Matt Smith stuff and Barrowman hasn't been in Matt Smith yet.
Yeah.
So, but
why I'm not motivated to watch it.
No, but you know what it could be? It could be a genre thing and that the creators are paying attention to all these genres and recognize that because as we'll see in this episode, we have, again, a spoiler from Once Upon a Time, Dr. Whale.
He's Frankenstein.
Well, that's a spoiler if you have
This isn't the Once Upon a Time podcast,
okay,
is it?
Fair enough. But he's in this episode, so I think just maybe they just pay attention to genre and just recognize that. So, anyways, I'm really excited. I hope that's true. I have not verified that fact yet, and I just realized that as I was saying
it. We haven't really done a lot of fact checking on it, but
if it's not true, it should be, and hopefully it will be. So, anyways, That would be an absolute epic, awesome thing to happen. And then maybe, and then the 50th anniversary, we're just going to get a lot of them this year in genre television. Anyway, so yes, Alex Kingston, that's exciting.
Yes.
And then, oh, we also found out that it airs early on CTV in the East Coast. That's more news.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently... yeah, it's on at 7 o'clock on CTV on the East Coast. It might be 7 o'clock on the West Coast as well. I don't know because I record it from the East Coast. Right. CW in Chicago. Right.
Yeah.
So
no, when I watch it at home, I have to watch it at 8 o'clock.
At 8?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. On CTV.
Yeah. So,
but that's good that people are paying attention to their own listings and finding out.
Yeah.
When
it's, that's how Ramona manages to email us at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's great
on the West Coast. And it's like it hasn't even aired. It hasn't even started recording on my TV yet, and I already have an email in the inbox.
It's good.
And thank you, Mel, for putting the warning in your subject that I shouldn't read it until after I've seen the episode.
It's good.
So I appreciate that.
And what's the final piece of news? I just had it in my head and then I completely... Oh, yeah, the picture that Stephen Amell posted on his Facebook wall.
Yes, about the video game.
Pretty epic. And you had some speculation about
So I haven't been able to find any information on it.
Uh-huh.
He posted it prematurely.
Yeah.
I think more quickly than Warner Brothers wanted him to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably a situation of they sent him a screenshot... and he turned around and posted it.
No, he's usually pretty good about stuff like that. Like, he was saying for a while that he was going to have some news and was going to be around, right? Like, this is something that I think that he feels out. Because he got a bit of crap for his comment on where he said stuff about CTV. And so I think that he's been watching himself.
Okay.
So I think maybe he put it up, took it down hastily, and then got an email right away saying he could put it back up. So, anyways.
So, it's a screenshot
of Quiver's logo, by the way.
Oh, yes. Seen it. of Arrow, of the vigilante in full hooded garb. And it looks like next-gen video game. Like, it's on the PlayStation or Xbox. But the thing is that we don't, like, I haven't found any information about it being a standalone video game.
Right.
I don't think that it's going to be an Arrow game.
Specific, yeah.
Yeah, I think what it looks like to me, Injustice Gods Among Us is a new, DC Universe video game it's by the guys who made the last Mortal Kombat game. And before that Mortal Kombat game, they actually made a game called DC Universe versus Mortal Kombat or something like that, where Mortal Kombat characters fought DC characters.
Yeah.
So this game is its own standalone game that has like Superman fighting against Batman and Wonder Woman. Actually, there's been a whole bunch of controversy around the game lately, which we can talk about in a second. But I think that they've already shown that there are alternate skins for Superman, Wonder Woman, and Solomon Grundy. So that implies that there will be alternate skins for other characters. And Green Arrow is one of the headline characters in this game.
Right.
So I imagine that this is just an alternate skin for Green Arrow in Injustice Gods Among Us. So that being said, I would love for this to be its own game. I would particularly love it if it was sort of in the same style of like the Arkham Asylum, Arkham City games, which are Batman games, which had a real focus on stealth and this really cool system of like sort of hiding in the shadows and stringing guys up on because Batman has his grapple gun and stuff, right?
So it's basically like Batman except with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, so
as
like
is
it, like
this entire show,
pretty much. But I think it would be really cool to see that same sort of approach of like a very stealth based game where you're the Green Arrow and it's sort of a combination of stealth and archery. It could be really fun. So we'll keep you guys posted because I'm a pretty big gamer. So I'll be, I'll have my ear to the ground
for that.
Awesome. But I actually want to take a second and we're going to talk about Injustice really quick because this is DC Universe in general, but it's very Superman specific. So it's a little bit of a tangent for us, but we're the Green Arrow podcast. We're not just the Arrow podcast. And this is part of DC as a whole. And this is a really important thing to be discussing about DC. And I don't know if you've heard anything about this yet, but they've released a digital comic that's a tie-in to Injustice Gods Among Us. And the plot is that Superman essentially turns bad and takes over the world. Like, he decides that he doesn't necessarily turn evil, but he sort of turns against humanity and becomes a bit of a dictator, mm-hmm. along with Wonder Woman at his side. Mm-hmm. So the comic in question is the third issue, and if anybody's reading it, these are going to be huge spoilers, so you might want to jump ahead a few minutes.
A few minutes? You're going to take a few minutes talking?
Yeah, well, you know, okay. Like 2 or 3 minutes, sure. and ignore what I'm about to talk about. So if you're reading those comics and you don't want to get spoiled, now would be the time to move ahead a little bit.
Okay.
So what happens is in the third issue, Joker and Scarecrow have used Kryptonite and the Scarecrow's fear gas, mm-hmm. to make Superman think that he's fighting Doomsday. In fact, who he is fighting is Lois Lane. And, okay, so that's bad enough.
What?
But the bigger thing is that she is pregnant with their child.
What?
Yes.
How have I not heard about this?
And he beats her to death.
Are you serious?
So there are two elements to this that are completely BS.
Wow.
The first is that, and okay, this is a touchy thing because we talked about sort of sexism and gender equality a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
And so I have a hard time with this because on the one hand, this is not very gender neutral or gender equal, but violence against women depicted in the media is not a positive thing.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's a serious issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not to say that violence in general is mm-hmm. okay, but violence yeah. against women is not okay. So if two guys beat the crap out of each other, it's fine.
Right.
But the second that a guy hits a woman, that's not okay.
Right.
It's not okay either way. But comic books are one of the ways that as human beings we get that out, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
comic books, video games, movies, yeah. media, right? Yeah. It's a healthy way of mm-hmm. expressing that sort right. of, I don't know, just that yeah, part of humanity,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for a husband to beat a wife to death under the influence of some sort of a drug or whatever,
yeah.
in a comic book of that kind, I'm not saying it's bad for comic books. I'm mm-hmm. saying if you put that into Superman, which is generally considered all ages,
yeah,
and I think that there's a possibility. The game will definitely be rated mature, but the comics don't really have a rating system.
Yeah,
so a kid may just pick that up
mm-hmm.
on the digital, like through yeah. Comixology or yeah. the DC app,
yeah.
and read that and see that, and so. The context of that happening within the DC universe is a little sketchy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
The second problem that I have is that you do that to Superman.
Yeah. That's...
There are times when it's appropriate to tell a story a certain way
mm-hmm.
or to tell a story that's a little bit more dramatic, a little bit edgy.
Yeah.
And like to get that out there. And comics are a perfectly fine medium to do that. Superman's not the avenue to do it with, though. And that's my opinion, and there are people out there who disagree. The problem here is that DC sort of made it an edict and yeah. said to a writer, we need Superman in this position. This is how you have to do it.
Oh, wow.
And the writer has actually made a statement saying that, you know, when he got that news,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's been a dream to write Superman. And he gets to write Superman, but then it's under these...
specific...
Yeah, under things, these conditions. Yeah. And it's difficult when you love a character to have to then do that to
yeah.
a character.
Yeah.
So it wasn't... He was with a heavy heart, essentially, is what mm-hmm. he said. That he wrote the pages. And he tried mm-hmm. to do it in the best way possible.
Right.
In order to
honor that, yeah.
Yeah, in order to honor that character. Now, I don't have a problem with Lois Lane dying.
No. Yeah.
In the context of an Elseworlds story,
mm-hmm.
they're doing worse stuff in the DC in the New 52 to
right.
Lois Lane as a character and for female characters in general. And that's the regular comics
yeah.
continuity.
Yeah.
So to do that in order to get him into that position, I understand. Because she's maybe like his link to humanity. Like you can
yeah.
make that argument.
Well, that's devastating.
His
devastating.
Parents are also the same thing and all that. Yeah. So you like, there's a lot of arguments to be made. Yeah. But if you want to send Superman off the deep end, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You sever that link.
Yeah.
Having it be at his own hands, I have a huge problem with.
Well,
so although I love if this Arrow skin is in this game, that would be awesome. But I can't support this game
if it's,
based on the fact that DC is pushing this storyline as a main part of it.
And I'm gonna I know nothing about this, and I need to do some major research. But what you say here is like, even there's ways to do it where, I mean, how devastating would that be if he killed Lois Lane? It's different for him to beat his wife, his pregnant wife, to death.
Yeah.
That's different than Superman killing Lois Lane.
Yeah. Being responsible for her death.
Yeah, he beat his pregnant wife. Anyways, so with that news.
So I just felt like
that needed to be shared,
because,
I think,
because we're Green Arrow fans here, but we're also DC fans. So it's something that's going on in the DC universe, and it's a pretty controversial thing.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I needed to use my venue to get out there and talk about it a little bit. Because the thing is that I love what DC is doing with their digital first titles. That like Super Smallville is awesome as a comic this season, 11 comic, and I'm hearing really good things about Arrow. I haven't read any of it yet. I'm gonna wait for, well, I don't know, I have to do a little bit of research, find out when the graphic novel is gonna come out, but depending on when that comes out, that might be something that we cover over the break during the summer. And talk about that, because it's sort of, I think it's meant to fill in gaps between episodes and that sort of thing.
Nice.
So
I love that.
But those things are often not treated as continuity. So I don't really want to do it. I don't want to talk about it in the context of the season, because then we're kind of
messing
up. Mixing messages. But I love what they're doing. So it really kills me to see them do this, because some divisions of DC are doing awesome stuff, and some divisions of DC are just doing the worst possible things for comics, and setting us back a good 10 years in, like, firing female creators and removing female characters from timelines without justification, like, without going out there and making a statement as to why they're doing it. So, I don't know. I just think it's important for our listeners to know that these things are happening, because... that you're a fan of Arrow, you're a fan of DC. It's kind of one goes with the other. As we find in this episode, there's a whole bunch of DC connections with Slade Wilson and Deathstroke and really cool stuff in this episode, which makes you a fan of DC overall, because he's not an Arrow character. He's a DC character. So anyways, let's jump into our emails.
Yeah, so that's good. So that's our new news segment. We'll try to do that, and then we'll do our email segment, and then we'll get into the recap. So...
And we got so many emails from you guys this week, which is awesome, that that we are going to read two emails.
Speedy. I'm going to read them or you're going to read one, and then I'm going to read one.
Yes.
But we'll go through them fast.
Okay, so here's the first one from Brandon, and he says, "Hi, guys. This is my first email, and I am so happy to be a part of the Quiver podcast family.
Yay!
Amanda and Michael are doing an awesome job, or sorry, amazing job, and I appreciate all your hard work. I love watching Arrow, and it brings a smile to my face every episode it airs, and fills the void that was left when Smallville ended. Last week was the first episode I watched with your commentary. I'm curious, what do you guys think will happen first? Felicity, Thea, or Laurel finding out about Oliver's identity? I'm really impressed with the intuition of Felicity and Thea, and maybe they might figure things out sooner than later.
Mm.
I have to disagree with Amanda and say Laurel and Tommy have zero chance
being
together. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to read this. When Oliver and Laurel are on screen together, there is so much pent-up sexual attention for each other that it is borderline uncomfortable to watch. That's awesome. That's what it's all about.
That's great.
They need to just do something about it already. But I hope that maybe Oliver and Felicity can hook up in the meantime.
Oh.
I can tell Felicity likes Oliver, and she is just looking for someone that trusts her. When she was investigating Moira for Walter, she was great and seems to enjoy herself with fulfilling a purpose. She reminds me so much of Chloe. I can either see her and Oliver have a short dating period, or her just having a longing crush that Chloe had for Clark.
Oh.
I hope her and Thea can be friends because they both could learn a lot from each other. I'm waiting so much for Oliver to broaden his Arrow family and maybe include Thea and Felicity and even Laurel into the mix. I'm excited to see what Oliver will do with the knowledge he has with his mother and what he will do if his mother is out of the picture, and will he ever control Queen Industries? Can't wait for a new episode of Arrow and Quiver. That's from Brandon. I mean, we'll talk about it when we're done the episode and we watch the preview. But we have speculation about this. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that Felicity is
coming up.
Yeah, we're going to have definitive whether or not she knows.
I think. We'll see.
And I think by the end of this episode that Laurel might have some suspicions.
Because they interrupted that with the...
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting.
It was very interesting, the end of this episode.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for writing in.
Yes.
And I completely agree with you that Tommy and Laurel are I
know
after long.
This episode, I just don't even know what to do with myself.
The odds are stacked against them.
And I will say, with the news of Alex Kingston, that definitely makes me think that there's more Canary-centric stuff coming
up.
And more reasons for them to get ripped apart, and more reasons for her to be with Arrow. And you know what? Let's just get onto this new email, because it'll distract me. So this is from Jeff, with the subject line, fan mail, with 2 exclamation marks. I love that. Okay. Hey guys, love the podcast. I've been reading Green Arrow for years, and like the recognition the character is finally getting. I've got to disagree with you, Mike, on the over-the-top acting of Count Vertigo. I agree that in Arrow, it's reality-based, no superpowers. But I think the Count is just a tweaked-out drug dealer. And after the dose Ollie gave him, his over-the-top theatrics in the future will kind of make sense. Also, in the comics, the present Black Canary is the daughter of the original Black Canary. I was surprised when Tommy's father ended up being Merlin. I wonder if Laurel's mother will return as Black Canary, or at least be the catalyst for Laurel to become Black Canary. Anyway, great podcast. I hope you guys do more info on the shoot locations during the break. Jeff from Long Island, New York. So that's a little bit of what we've been talking about with. Yeah. So that's a really good roundup for what we've been talking about. So thanks, Jeff, for that speculation, because I think that's true as well.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to go. Yeah. I think with that news that Dinah Lance will be showing up at some point.
It makes a difference.
I think that's what we're going to see is... I like the idea of the connection between her and Merlin. And maybe that's one of the reasons why she left.
That's really, because
we haven't really gotten a lot of information on why she left. So it could have been to keep them safe.
Yeah.
To be honest.
So that's, that's a good, there's lots of things happening with mothers. And as we know in this show, lots of layers. So there could be some crossover there. I'm really excited about shoot locations during the break too. I keep taking my notes as to things down. So we'll stay tuned for that in the summer. Yay. Thanks for all the emails, everybody.
Yes, we got so many. We got almost about eight emails this week.
And it's actually Wednesday this week episodes, that we're recording.
Yeah.
That's good.
So it's awesome to have that much feedback from you guys. We wish that we had time to read everybody's emails and talk about all of them. But unfortunately, we have to...
But we do read everybody's emails, just like not them. For you, because that would be an entire podcast in itself.
But you guys can also jump on Facebook and talk about stuff and with each other, and we have more opportunity to jump in there and be a part of the conversation in there as well. Cool. Awesome. Keep sending emails and we will keep reading them.
Yeah. And I think to segue into this, I'll just jump off of Jeff's email because you're talking about the top acting of Count Vertigo. I'm going to say, Mike said it while we were watching this episode, the tone that we get in this episode is a bit more what we think makes sense with this reality-based villain, because this villain looks a little bit schmarmy and a little bit over the acting. What I love when he's eating the cereal, Mike had this great moment where he's like, "You acted the crap out of that cereal." And it's true. He's a bit over the top, but... I think it
works. Just enough.
So let's dive right in and just see what I thought was a phenomenal Lucky Number 13th episode.
Yes. So I'm starting the episode now. I'm hitting play and it's at the beginning of the episode.
Iron Heights Prison.
Yeah.
Which, again, yay, Iron Heights Prison. And the big bus blocking what is obviously an alley of some kind.
But at least the bus has been painted.
Painted,
this week.
It's not yellow.
Yeah, it's not just a yellow school bus.
It's true.
So here's our new bad guy, Vanch, Who's I?
Look at how schmarmy he is. He's just great. So great.
He's really good.
I love him. And I've been this entire time actually trying to find, because it's David Anders, I think, because from Once Upon a Time. But yeah. Nowhere can I find him, like, actually credited on Arrow. It's really bothering me on IMDb right now.
IMDb is, like, slow to update.
Yeah. But, you know, whatevs. He's, anyways, this thing with his, with whoever this lawyer is or whatever.
Yeah,
is
his lawyer.
Just a brilliant scene. And you really get, it just sets a really great tone for the episode.
Yeah.
I think it really, it becomes, again, the layers of the show, starts with this idea of, like, betrayal, and as I was thinking about this, I was like, we see both his hands, where did he get the knife from? I'm really confused.
He's just that good. Just that good. He wasn't hiding it up his sleeves,
because they're rolled up like a shmarmy.
But he's just that good.
He is.
It's odd to me that this guy dies so quickly, maybe there was some poison.
Maybe we just don't know these things. Oh man, he's just, I don't know. I just really am starting to like Count David Anders. I was going to say Count, but no, whoever this guy is. And I don't like him on Once Upon a Time. He kind of bothers me, but here I really like him.
He's a little flat on Once Upon a Time.
He is. Yeah. But here he's like really dynamic and I really like it.
Yeah. So we're dealing now with the book that Felicity gave Oliver last episode, and he's telling Diggle about it, and Diggle's like, well, it's the same names as the other book. Mm-hmm. No mention of the fact that that Oliver's book is missing a few pages,
He burned them. Yeah, it's silly.
But that's okay. We'll just leave that alone.
Yeah.
Come up
later. Maybe, will it though? Maybe that'll be one of those times where writers just
I think that'll be like a season 3 or 4 thing clever writer is going to be like,
something about some
it's
going to
be like, yeah, well, you know, maybe you would have known about so-and-so if you had burned those pages.
It's good. Look, we're in Lost! I'm so excited!
So we're on the island.
Smoke monsters!
Yeah, crashed airplane. Very large airplane.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is. Yep. It also looks like an expensive set. I just wanted to, like,
But it's some good reining in of the budget, because that plane was CG.
Yeah.
But then this set is convincing enough
that
you don't care, right?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly,
if you notice that it's a CG plane, it's like, well, we're in that world. It's okay. So new character, or is he, or is he?
Yes.
We've been triple crossed with this
We had a whole moment where we were like, wait, didn't we post on our Facebook wall that this is Deathstroke Unmasked?
That's Slade Wilson, as was revealed by Stephen Amell about a week ago, 2 weeks
something
ago,
like that. Yeah,
on his Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Slade Wilson, who is also Deathstroke.
Yeah, and then
we've seen Deathstroke already, and this Deathstroke seems to be at odds with the military forces on the island, so very odd.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, and we have a nice power dynamic here with, again, he betrays his lieutenant. Every single scene, there's a betrayal.
And somebody betrays him in the police department later.
Oh, man, it's just such
no one can trust anybody.
No. So it's good. So it's very interesting, and it's just, I think he betrays himself a little bit in this episode, too. I'm just going to throw it out there. The idea that he's all, like, gung-ho, yay, I'm going to get this guy. And then,
at any cost.
Yeah. Quentin. You just got owned, Quentin.
So he's essentially being told that he should leave the vigilante alone because the police are actually okay
with
the fact that he's...
Which is cool.
That he's
taking
out criminals.
Yeah, he's, like, doing things.
Yeah.
So... And so here we have Oliver and his mom, and he just sort of comes in and starts to stare off into space. I thought that was a little weird, where he just, like, walks in. She's like, what's wrong? He's like, oh, was I staring into space? I'm sorry.
I think he's trying to figure out how he's going to bring it up, out with it.
Yeah.
I found this book.
Yeah.
He said
Walter gave it to him.
Walter gave it to him. So
he doesn't throw Felicity under the bus, which
is
nice.
Which is good.
So it's just... This
but
is,
she immediately throws Robert.
Robert,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert under the bus.
This is really...
And he knows that she's lying.
Yeah.
It's because he knows where this book's actually coming
and
from.
And I'm gonna comment on this later, because it just, like, it blew my mind. Every time Ollie is lying in this episode, he does such a good job. Stephen Amell is just owning this episode. owning it. His face, like, if you just look at the emotions.
There's a lot of subtext in this episode.
And his face is doing all of the right things that he's supposed to be doing in each of these moments, especially when, I'll talk about it when he's talking to Tommy, but, like, right here. And this was just so badass. She's just like, that's just going in the fire. There we go. And he's, and he's just frustrated. Look at Stephen Amell's face. Just look at it. He was so, like,
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Because now he knows something's up.
Yeah.
But he wants to trust his mother.
Yeah.
But now, like, here's the thing. I don't know if what she said a couple episodes ago about Robert can be trusted now.
Yeah, because I didn't actually think it was to be trusted. I thought that was a lie.
Yeah.
So, it's very interesting. By the way, Thea's one appearance here in this episode, so...
And she has black and white sort of...
Oh my god, can you see her bra through her shirt? Pretty sure you can.
Oh, it's can.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, so now we have two games. What color is Thea's pants, and can you see her bra? That's like the side bet at the Super Bowl of like what color will Beyonce's outfit be.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyways, so here we tie in how Vanch is important to... I don't know, Kate Spencer, this is the first time we've mentioned this, someone at the DA's office, I guess, who they use and... So,
and this other random supporting character
who now is also doing pro bono work or something that Thea could relate to, and I was unclear as to
I think she's gonna be trouble.
I think they were just writing in a new side
character. No, I think she's gonna be trouble later on down the road. I think you're right, she's gonna influence
Thurlow Street. Sorry, that's right downtown. I just love when you can actually see things in Vancouver and you're like, hey.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
So anyways, poor Tommy. Don't trust her, Tommy. She's gonna lie to you.
Nobody trusts anybody in this episode. It's entitled betrayal.
Tommy trusts everybody and he just gets hurt in the end.
No, but nobody should trust anybody. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
They should all not trust each other.
Fair enough. Ugh, and now we're back in the Arrow Cave. And Oliver said something that he was doing for his own good. She burned the book to protect him
so that he didn't get tangled up in whatever Walter got himself tangled up in. Yeah. Of course, Moira doesn't realize that he can handle himself, but why would she? Yeah. She doesn't think that he's the vigilante.
Yeah. And then Diggle's like good in this episode again, holding his own. We're starting to get this sort of let's see who else is joining the Arrow family, if you will, right? Anyways, exciting about the phone ringing. It's becoming... They have links. So exciting.
What are you talking about? Because people who aren't watching the episode with us don't know what you just said.
The phone is ringing.
The phone rang and it was Laurel. And she's trying to get the vigilante to help her with tracking down Vanch. Because they don't have any evidence to put him away. They need evidence.
Which is kind of weird where he's like, I don't really do getting evidence. It's not really my MO. So it's really being a little bit manipulative.
Yeah. But it's great because this is a very procedural element of the show when we get these episodes where Laurel contacts the vigilante in order to help her with a case. Mm-hmm. But they do it in a way that it's not procedural.
Yeah.
Because the thing about a procedural is that
it has a procedure. It's procedural.
So every episode follows the same template. Yeah. Yeah. But with this, although there's a very loose template here, there's also... Yeah. So much else going on, such as the tech comes back.
Did you hear the line though? We have a name for him. I think it was Kenton or something. But he said, "Your daughter's playing Maid Marian to Robin Hood again." Yeah. That was an awesome line.
Yeah.
And then 11 minutes into the episode, we finally have the Arrow like beginning.
The sting.
What a long first act, but you know, it's good. It's setting it up to be an epic episode. So, they just had to go. They went through and they set up all of the different parts of the episode.
Yeah. They set up every piece, and it's a very complex episode, so it took a while. But now we're at the compound, this mansion. This
very fancy house
that
is making me die a little inside because it's so awesome. And here we have Arrow back to just shooting people, which he hadn't done in a while. Like
no, he hasn't, but these guys are bad guys. These are killers for hire, right?
Like, ooh, this is a continuity... thingy that bothered me is that he talks about taking over all of these organizations before Arrow actually has the bug on him. And
he talks about it again, though.
Does he? Okay. Yeah. Well, good. He eats a lot in this episode.
But who is this woman? Because we never get an explanation of who she is.
Yeah, I think he's his exposition so that he doesn't have to do a weird, awkward voiceover. Yeah. I don't know.
So he's not just talking to himself.
Yeah.
It just would have been nice to get a line of, like, that she's his right hand or something.
Well, they made out in the very first scene.
Yes.
So, well, maybe she is literally zing. Sorry. That was
That's
awkward.
Terrible. That's terrible.
Sorry
Best
for
produced,
that.
Least professional podcast on the we earned that. So he's taking out all these guys, but then a guy shows up with an Uzi and sort of gives away that he's there. And Vanch finds the arrow that is recording his little gadget arrow, his catch-all.
I love that.
It's the MacGuffin arrow just kind of does whatever they need it to do.
Yeah.
And we find out that it was recording and sending it to a little thumb drive thing that he's got. I like this because she's being very cutesy.
Yes, when she comes around in her trench coat, it's very.
Yeah, and I just like it when we get these moments of these two trying
to. Tommy being cute.
Yeah, well, because they're a regular couple. Yeah. It's not overwrought CW
drama, which is so brilliant, which it's doomed because of that.
Yeah,
which sucks.
But I just like that their romance isn't like this epic, ridiculous romance.
Yeah, it's just like they have like a good relationship and they just sort of are doing it.
There's a familiarity because they're friends. Mm-hmm. So Arrow has given her a place to meet, and this is exactly what Detective Lance has been waiting for.
Yeah.
So they've got the phone bugged, so now they know where they're expected to meet, and they're going in. Guns blazing, but guns blazing with rubber bullets
because it's his daughter. So as much as he is throwing her,
but his partner danger. Is kind of like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, he sort of knows it's a bad. I don't know. It's a very interesting episode for Detective Lance, I think. And again, remember we had a Diggle episode, and I said I wanted a Lance episode.
Yeah,
and this is it, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. It's good. Look at Tommy Schmolder. I didn't even notice that before. His head is down. His eyes are up. Yeah, sorry.
Just Smolder.
Whatever.
Smolder. There's no CH in Smolder.
It's a new thing. It's only what Tommy does. Sorry. And then they'd be really cute when she says, and she lies to him, look at her face here. She hugs him with such betrayal and says, I will see you in an hour and a half. She's lying. What a liar.
Yeah.
Lie McLie face. Which, by the way, it means that this episode sort of takes place in real time because she still sees him later that night in the same outfit.
She does. Yeah.
So it's kind of good. Well, by real time, I mean really fast real time. Anyways. It's good. It's a fast-paced episode.
It is. It's a very quick episode. And now Diggle is driving around Moira in order to figure out what she's up to, even though Oliver's kind of told him not to. Yeah. So again, Diggle is going off on his own, which I think is a really cool thing. That these characters are independent of one another, but work as a team.
Even when
they don't agree, they still work in the best interest of the mission, right?
Yeah.
And Diggle knows that what Oliver's too close to it.
Yeah.
So, with it being his mom.
So, Guy B's name just came up on the screen here, and I just want to point out how epic he is I think, a lot of the direction in this episode.
This is an ambitious episode.
It is.
There's a lot of strength.
And such a small thing is, like, even the reveal of it being Diggle that was driving. For a moment, I was like, oh, Moira's gonna get killed! Oh, wait, no, it's Diggle. Like, and that, I think, is just it's just very, there's such layer to this episode. And I will actually say, I feel like Guy B directs a lot of two-part episodes. It's very weird. Like, he'll direct one part of a two-part episode, and he just does it very well. Anyways.
Well, we find out that Moira's actually not up to anything. Party. She's at somebody's 50th birthday party.
Which is, you know, kind of awkward when she comes in.
The maitre d' guy is just like,
what? All right.
He was cast very well.
Yeah.
His nice widow's peak and everything.
Good job.
And it is pouring rain in Vancouver, in case
you this know. Whole episode.
It's been very rainy here for the last, like, 3 months.
It has.
Expect a lot of
like
rainy...
20 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll have a couple rainy episodes.
We avoided the snow.
Yeah.
You know,
because
they weren't,
the rain,
they were,
yeah.
I think they were shut down.
Down for the,
the
because
snow.
Everybody was shut down for those 2 days it snowed in Vancouver. Anyways, talking here, we've got Arrow saying that Vance is, there's evidence on the little disc, so he's got the evidence exactly what she asked for. But then he noticed that they weren't alone and uses Laurel as a human shield, as the SCPD come and try to arrest him. And then he says, Laurel, I'm sorry, throws her at them, and then jumps off the roof somewhat gracefully, much more gracefully than Quentin does.
And then just, like, bails. Just, like,
and I'm just unclear how there's, like, trees here on a sixth level of a parking garage, and then it's...
It's Vancouver. We're very green.
Yeah, okay.
Apparently they're very green in Starling City. Sweet, as well.
True, I guess. Anyways, so...
I was a little let down with this.
That was such a fail takedown, too. Like, yeah. Why would you not come at all sides if you're trying to take somebody down? And also, he then just sort of goes on his own and gets knocked out. And it's like, yay, Detective Lance, I hope that you...
But, like, I thought this was going to be an opportunity
for, like, the Arrow.
Yeah, for him to get in there and talk
to
Detective Lance and say, like, you put your
daughter
at risk.
Yeah, the thing is, it wasn't necessary.
No.
The more that you, like, when we, I know that when we first saw it, we were like, hey, that would have been really good.
Yeah.
But the more you watch it, he sort of does it to himself. Yeah, she does it to him, and he does it to himself as well, which is interesting later, so...
She's pissed.
She is really mad at her dad. And she recognizes it. Like, the thing I love about the show is there's no real dumb characters yet.
Yeah.
There's nobody that's really kind of missing out on the nuances. She gets it. She's like, no, you said not to go after him before you gave me the phone. After you gave me the phone, you knew that I was going to, so right? So it's just really interesting that, like, they don't miss a beat, and I really like that. And so... Blinded by your hate for him.
They blocked this scene so well, like starting her off far away so
and
that
then they just
come
have to
closer and get more intense.
Yeah.
Because then the shots get closer, the faces get tighter, and like
just
the emotions start to come through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This show is just really well produced.
And it started off big and it got smaller as it went in, right? Because she's starting like yelling and anyways. And he just gets left behind. Oh, it's good. Look at the emotion in this. Ugh. Oh, and he asked for the phone back. Oh, man, I love Detective Lance. God, you go, Paul Blackthorne. You just, I don't know.
Yeah, he delivers a really, really good performance. I mean, we talk about him a lot, but this is a great episode. That cut was a little janky for me, but that's okay.
Well, they both slammed something down.
Yeah,
on
but
it was
Oliver's awkward. Slam was a little bit too late. It could have been a little bit tighter, but that's just me.
Yes, that's interesting. So anyways, here Diggle is telling Ollie that he is going... shadowing his mom or following his mom or right, and there's a little bit of tension here. They build up the tension in this episode really well as well, right? Like they've had a couple scenes. They have they have the two scenes between Diggle and Ollie, and then the third scene is the one that really that's an epic scene when we get to that where he's just like boom 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 things that suck for you Ollie. Anyways, this is Diggle again, foresight. They're not blinded by these things. He says there's something happening in the city that's bigger that we need to know what it is. And he knows that Ollie won't do anything until there's actually, right? He gets exactly what he needs. And I love that too. It's not like Diggle went out in one episode, got something sort of, and then it got erased and it couldn't be shown to Arrow and then it postponed stuff. It's like, no, we want results in this episode and we get them. So anyway, so here she is. Laurel met back up with Tommy and is ranting about being lied to. And poor Tommy is... realizing that he's been lied to as well. Oh, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. And you know, like, they did it in a way that you can really see how she has justified this for herself.
Yeah,
and it's so funny because what Tommy says to her is, huh, you know, like, he's been lying to you for weeks. It really sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's implying that, like, you've been lying to me for months.
Yeah.
And it's sort of
really
like she's so upset
she
can't see that she's just like her dad.
Yeah.
That like if she could see that she'd be maybe a little bit more okay with it. But
by the way, can I just say that they did this sort of weird panorama? Oh, this is the chew. Oh, this is like the eating.
It's so great.
That eating.
The last chew. He just kind of opens his mouth to chew it, and it's like it's such a great choice. But.
Using deception, anyways, they pan around this house that was obviously in, like, California or something, really sunny, and they come and they're, like, trying to stream sunlight in through the windows here. Anyways.
On a very overcast day.
So, her friend in the police department, so this is why she's here, his sort of sidekick person, is giving him information about the Starling City Police. Remember that attorney, Laurel Lance? So we find out it's Laurel who is the key to getting Arrow, or the vigilante, I guess. And I love this little one-liner. Tommy's one-liners got so good. Looks like you're working. And then a few little jabs. This is the lightest, I think this is the lightest part of this episode. And it's really funny. It's the lightest, but it's also, I think, really intense. And one of the funniest lines in the entire episode.
This is great, though, how Oliver's being really upfront about, like, you keep coming to me with these problems about Laurel.
Yeah.
Just quit it with the act, quit it with the guilt stuff. Yeah, like, just if you have a problem, tell me what the problem is. I'm your friend. I'm okay with this.
Yeah. Oh, and this is great where he just gives him crap for letting her hang out with the vigilante. That is great. Like, that is a brilliant moment.
Well, he's so Oliver quick. He's just so quick.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so great that
he's incensed. Like, he's so angry about it. He's just like, I cannot believe you would let her be with that dangerous person. And it's like the whole thing, it's all part of his cover. And then
he goes on about this infatuation thing here. This is the first time that we have Tommy sort of sense some jealousy about Arrow. And it's just really interesting that you get this layer that I've been dreading for a long time, the inevitable reason that they're going to break up, which is so sad.
Well, we also got this part about the, you know, of all people, I can't believe Laurel will fly to my face.
Yeah.
And Oliver has a look on his face that he's really pissed off about his mom.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's what he's doing to Tommy right now. So, like, they're, like, this all betrayal thing has got so many layers.
Yeah, this look at this face. He did. Oh, he just did brilliant things. Where, like, when Tommy wasn't looking, he was. Anyways, very exciting. And now we're back on the island in Lost, and they're talking about a plan of some kind. Right, the airfield. I forgot. They're getting off the island. This is very much an episode of Lost.
So Slade's been working with Yao Fei in order to figure out how to get off this island. But then Yao Fei was compromised, which is what we saw, which I think, this was not part of the plan. Oliver showing up wasn't part of the plan.
Right.
And, and I think that's why he got compromised, was because of Oliver.
Right.
And then Yao Fei's plan was, after that, is I'll join them.
Right,
I'll gain their trust and find them, and then we'll I'll find another way off the island, keep them off of Slade's track, right?
Yeah, which is great. And this is brilliant because he's gonna learn how to sword fight. I'm so excited. So it's just these extra layers that he's now getting his training actually through the different episodes, and we're finding out how he becomes who he becomes in a practical, tangible way. Oh, you're so right too. It didn't sink into me in the very beginning of this series just how much you were right about. We started in the fifth season, and now we're going back and we're actually seeing how Arrow. I bet you that there was a concept meeting in the early parts of this where they're like, "I wonder if we should start it with him becoming Green Arrow or if we should start it with him as Green Arrow."
Oh, I guarantee it. Right, and I think that one of the things that was said is let's treat these characters like we've had them for 5 years.
Yeah.
And we're just now we're the audience may just be coming into it, but
we're not. Yeah,
we know what they've been through over the last 5 years, and we'll write them in that way.
Yeah. By the way, Laurel, you're so dumb. Okay, we're back at Laurel. She thought it was Tommy. He has a key or something, or wouldn't buzz. And you, anyways, she kicks these guys.
Yeah, who buzzes these days? I always call people on my cell
phone. It's just. No, and she didn't look through the people. I always look through my people because it could be crazy people coming to murder you. I don't know. I feel that that's just safety 101. I think
perhaps you watch too much TV.
Because this could happen, clearly. Anyways,
she does pretty good for herself. She does really good for herself. She takes out two thugs.
She does, and then gets tased.
But
I like him. He came to do his own dirty work, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's sort of a big bad, and you'd think that he wouldn't have to do his own dirty work, but he does.
But he tases.
And I kind of like that about him. He's a bit, so what we're talking about, the idea where Count Vertigo was a bit unrelatable, I feel that here, he is relatable as a villain. Like, yeah. I think that I connect to him
in a way. He's a little more grounded. Yeah. He's clearly insane. He's clearly a sociopath. Yeah,
clearly. But
he doesn't need to be wacky, right? Like, that's the thing, is that Count Vertigo is a little bit wacky.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm jumping on tables. I'm dancing around like an idiot. And it's like, I get it. You're a drug dealer.
Yeah.
But be a sophisticated drug dealer. Don't be a
it's a bit channeled. He was a gotho. Anyways. Moira and Diggle. Here, Diggle knows that this has got to be it. He's been driving her around all night. And now, finally,
he's going to just casually walk in behind her.
I know, this is really, it kind of is a fail on that sense in terms of the practicality of it, but I guess it works.
He doesn't quite have the stealth down like Oliver does. It's not. Like the vigilante can get in and out of a place without being noticed.
By the way, I love this. So this Facet Lemantier Consulting or whatever it is, we were like, that's probably important. It's a set designer or a set decorator. Yeah. Not a set designer, a set decorator on the show, which is kind of cool. I thought that was like, yay for throwouts to their own personal people.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Anyways, so Diggle has fancy equipment that he's going to use now. I was kind of like, going to the staff room, I thought he was going to grab a cup or something. Yeah, like, I was like, oh, go grab a cup in the closet and listen. But no, Diggle doesn't roll like that. He came prepared.
With his, somebody worked really hard to make that room look like it was an actual in-use broom closet.
Yeah.
like, the walls are, I don't know, maybe it is actually a broom closet.
You know who probably did? The set decorator, whose name is on the
tour. I love this. I love that this is clearly not an office that they use.
Yeah.
I would imagine the backstory here is that this is an office of a company that they've acquired. And so they're using it as a clandestine meeting place.
But it's good. But he's still sitting behind that desk with authority. So, with authority.
But there's all the plastic over all the furniture and everything.
It is.
So, she's reporting in on the thing that he brought up with her a couple episodes ago. Three or four episodes ago, actually.
She's doing. She's checking in. About
telling so-and-so, knock it off with
digging and the,
gentrifying the blades. So she's gone and she's dealt with that. And now he's saying, oh yeah, and by the way, you're going to need to get rid of the contents of this warehouse, of the warehouse at this address.
Yeah.
The warehouse with the Queen's Gambit in it. Yeah. And so that's the perfect bit of evidence that's
exactly what Diggle needed. Which is great. It's not like he just got some sort of words. He got the actual evidence he needed.
Yeah.
And then he's just like hanging in the closet and confronts the other security guy.
I like this guy, and I hope we see more of him.
It would be interesting. And because
the anti-Diggle.
It's really suspect.
He's Bizarro Diggle.
He's Bizarro Diggle.
He's Diggzaro.
Diggzaro, I love it. Oh, awesome. Because
he totally is. Like, you can tell that, like, where Dig spent his time in the military in Afghanistan, I think that guy spent his time in the military in probably like Vietnam or something.
He's a little bit older. Just like,
he's a little bit gruffer looking, a little bit more on the evil side.
Probably not in a... Hey, I just realized Laurel has a school bus picture on her wall. I wonder if it's the same like school bus from...
No, I think that those are just pictures from IKEA.
Fair enough. Anyways, so Tommy coming to find Laurel missing, and this message is intense. Like, Tommy...
So they cut the trailer last week to make it seem like Tommy was gonna have it out for the vigilante, and that he was gonna get involved in all of this somehow. But instead, what ends up happening is that he finds the arrow, and the arrow has a message on it from Vance.
Yeah.
He takes it to Detective Lance, which I think was unfortunate naming convention. Because it's a little confusing. But he takes it to Detective Lance, and now Detective Lance is putting together, he's sort of connecting the dots of...
That someone
the only people that would know are people within the police department.
Yeah.
So he realizes that there's a mole, somebody's leaking information.
Yeah. Which, again...
Which means he can't trust the police.
Things happen all the time in this episode, in this season.
Another
series.
Betrayal.
I just love it.
We should have been counting. We should have had a clicker of
how many betrayals there were
in this episode.
Yeah.
Because there's at least five or six, and we've still got, like, the whole third act together.
Yeah. Oh, and it's just very... You just hear him, like, oh, he's so brilliant, like, fighting with himself. And poor Tommy is useless, and he just has to sit there and be...
Yeah, Tommy's the only one who's not connected.
But he's in almost every other scene. It's interesting. Yeah. He's the one that just gets betrayed all over the place. Anyway, so here's our third scene with Diggle and Ollie. Hopefully I was counting that right. But anyways, it's really about the betrayal that Ollie feels for Diggle because he bugged his mom, but at the same time, then justified. No, it's justified. And it's actually because there's bigger things here.
And he's ready to go off half-cocked and crazy. And
it's just this episode is brilliant. This scene, I mean, is particularly lovely in how much crap they throw at Ollie in 2 minutes. It's great.
Because you can see it. He's questioning everything, right? Like, he doesn't know what to believe, who to trust at this point.
Mm-hmm. And this bothers me. I didn't know that he didn't know that the boat was sabotaged. That's the one thing, is that I think that we speculated that he knew that the boat was sabotaged.
Yeah.
But now, this is really convincing.
I think he's going to find out by the end of this season that he was meant to end up on the
island. Yeah, and...
That he doesn't know that yet. But we've kind of put that together.
Yeah, so it'll just be...
But we have extra information, right? Because we know about Merlin, and we know about... The cult of the squiggly line, which still doesn't happen.
I love this. 3 seconds before this line is permanently disconnected, it's really like he's pissed.
He doesn't have any patience right now. But he's gotta go rescue Laurel.
Oh, look at his, he's so torn. Yeah. Oh god, Stephen Amell's doing such a good job in this episode. Anyways, and now we're back on the island with this dude. I love this scarf too. This is just a great...
Just great costume design.
Really good costume design in this show. Like, I am always impressed with it.
With the exception of the vigilante's outfit, I think. I just feel like the most important piece of costume design is the weakest piece of costume design, in my opinion. But I also feel like it's a transitionary thing. Like, I don't think he's going to stick with that outfit for the
whole thing.
Whole series. Yeah. That it'll be an evolution, but...
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's as most.
He's got to get the domino mask at some point.
Right.
Because he's got to stop running around with the hood in the shadows and
stuff.
Yeah,
it just seems impractical. It seems impractical to me. But he just, breaks his own hand here, by the way. Can we just... Ugh. Ugh. It's... What does this remind me of? Anyways.
Oh, so they do it in movies all the time.
Yeah.
But he does it, and then he punches Slade, and Slade kind of laughs, and he's like...
All right.
He's like, I think I like you.
Yeah. And here we go. Steve Wilson.
Why did he call himself Steve Wilson?
I'm pretty sure that was a typo in the...
Yeah, he said Slade.
I'm pretty sure he said Slade. Yes, he said Slade. I almost
guarantee it. Yeah.
He did.
He's not listed on IMDb yet, so...
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah, he was. That's right. And Slade, he was listed as Slade Wilson on IMDb.
So that was a typo in our thing. Anyways, so here we're meeting on the same rooftop with Detective Lance. And it's just very interesting. I hate you. I hate everything you stand for. But this lunatic has my little girl. Aww.
So he's sort of... I think we're seeing this reluctant... alliance forming that we got the last time he had to use the phone, and now this time he doesn't want to work with the vigilante, but he will
if he needs to. And I just like that Detective Lance sort of knows that Arrow knows things, right? Because Arrow automatically knows. He's like, it's Cyrus Vance, and so Detective Lance is like, oh man, you know this, and it's just this stuff. And anyways, and then an alliance is forming, and this is leading up to one of the most epic final acts that we've had so far, I think, at least.
It's pretty good.
Think it's brilliant. I was just really impressed. This is also one of the longest commercial breaks I think we've ever had, too.
Commercial break.
It's crazy.
Falling asleep during it.
But it's... I don't know. Just, like, the way that it's... I don't know. I just don't even know what to say. Let's just, watch it. And him taking down all of these guys with his arrows, and then the detective...
Yeah, let's just watch Lance it. That'll make for really good podcast.
Well, I don't know. We can walk it. We can talk at the same time, I guess.
It is a really great scene, because essentially what Vance does is he's monologuing, which, you know, if you're a villain, never monologue. Just don't monologue.
Yeah.
Have a gun yourself. But he's going on and on about how he knows that the vigilante's coming, and she's...
Comment on her? She has become much better. And you think so? Doesn't bother me as
much. I didn't like that. I felt like that was a little goofy, a little ham-handed of her, threatening him, you're going to go away for all these things.
She's trying to be strong, though.
Yeah.
In the fact that she's, not, right? I don't know. It was just very... Yeah. I don't know. The second time I watched it, it became a little bit better for me. Maybe because I couldn't actually hear her talk and I just had to read it.
But he starts counting off all of the different,
that he's gonna kill.
Four guys at the front and four guys at the back and 600 rounds a second. And
which seems like a lot.
It is a lot, but that's how fast those guns
that's
shoot.
Insane.
It's ridiculous. These two sharpshooters on the roof. I love this. He manages to distract both sharpshooters and take them out.
Yeah.
Rather than shooting one and giving the other the opportunity to shoot, he blinds them both.
Yeah.
And then shoots them. And he's like, I got some more guys around the back waiting for him, but... There's a point to all this, which I think is just so great.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Because Vance he's not going anywhere.
He's still there, but I can count to 24.
So he put 24 guys out there.
So that
essentially
he would be the last one. Yeah.
So that Arrow would walk in without any
arrows. Yeah.
He's got no arrows. And he's kind of screwed. Although we've seen him fight with just the bow.
It's true. Remember last episode? I don't need the bow. Or whatever.
Yeah, so...
Ventilate him is the threat. And then here we have Detective Lance being a badass.
But
this is insane. Look at him. Look at him just go in a rage. This is brilliant right here. That. And this line right here. I'm the vigilante. You're the cop. It's just, look at this. It's so brilliant. Look at Paul Blackthorne's face and just look at David Anderson.
That doesn't mean I have to read the passages.
This is right.
So he just decks him.
It is good.
Just takes him out.
Oh, such a good scene. It was good. And it's all over. Poor everybody. They're all in such pain. And then...
I just love how Detective Lance is always so angry he could cry.
Yeah,
that's his emotion. I'm so angry I could cry.
But he won't. He'll go drink instead.
No, he'll go drink away his sorrows.
I just realized that means that Paul Blackthorne and Alex Kingston get to have some scenes together, and I'm just freaking out a little bit. Oh my god, could you imagine? Oh my god, it's just mind-blowing. I'm so excited. Anyway, sorry, I'm talking over Laurel being mad at her dad. I love that they preface it this, they have a real relationship where she's saying, I love you, but I really can't trust you, and I just like that they it's not like a CW drama where she's like, I hate you! It's
like it was last week with Thea and
Moira. Yes, fair enough. But it's just that you have a genuine relationship where she's like, I genuinely just need to not be around you right now.
Yeah.
Which is like a fair... That's fair, right? It is what it is. And then we think the episode is over. Do we think the episode is over? Is it
just
wrapping up? Is it going to be over? Or... are we going to want Wednesday to come right away? Because that's how I feel.
you want it to be next Wednesday already.
Yes, because this episode ending is epic. Also, so is this sort of exchange between Laurel and Arrow in the parking lot, where she realizes that he cares, which is cool.
She figures out that there's something going on here because he shows up to say, I don't want to put you in danger anymore.
And she really just doesn't understand. Oh, 105 West Pender. Downtown as well. That's awesome.
Actual address. That's good.
Now I know them and I'm willing to take them with you. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to put her at risk.
And this is the first time that he gets this secret identity thing.
But that look on her eyes right there is that she realizes that it's
somebody
that she knows.
And she just... Anyways, it's this episode is the first episode where I really... Yeah, I get it. Look at her face there where she's hugging Tommy
she's
and she realizes
she
doesn't actually... she likes him. Stupid Laurel and Ollie being together.
It's not about that she likes him. It's that she's realizing that there's something
else
going on with the vigilante.
Which is interesting. Which, Earlier in the season, I would have predicted wouldn't have meant anything this season, but now I'm saying, actually, the pace that this show goes, perhaps we will get things soon developing on that front.
So we find out in this last scene that the man that he tells Oliver, Slade Wilson tells Oliver, go choose a weapon. So Oliver walks over to one of the cases, opens it up, sees a gun, sees a mask, and it's Deathstroke's mask.
Yeah.
And he kind of loses it and finds out that actually Slade came to the island with his partner. The two of them wear these masks in order to maintain their sort of their anonymity. If you look, that mask is actually in the inverted one of the other one that we've seen. So his partner is the guy that tortured Oliver previously. So there's a little mistaken identity here, but then he kind of clears it up. So this is that. This is sort of the final betrayal of the episode.
And I just like, this is interesting that they came here to free Yao Fei and their Australian intelligence. I'm just really wondering sort of how all of this is connected. Because, and then the Russian mafia is going to come into it later. And it's just, there's all these sort of worldwide conspiracy type things. And it's very interesting. Anyways, and then we have that nice line which Slade ends off on, I like swords. Which I think is kind of interesting. So, final scene with Ollie and Diggle. And we have Oliver really just coming to terms with what he needs to do. So again, the episode could have started here, right? This is a brilliant episode. Yeah. Because it could have started with him actually going after the mom. But we know we had this lovely sort of discovery episode with lots of...
Well, he had to come to terms
with
it, right?
He did.
So, and to be honest, the episode could have just ended with that last scene, and next week could have started with this scene.
But it didn't.
But it didn't. Instead, we're going to break it in one more scene, and it's going to be killer, because we got to wait a whole week to find out what's going to happen.
And now we have the cult of the squiggly lines are doing something called The Undertaking, so... That is what it is now. We have to figure out what the undertaking is. And it better be something awesome. I'm just going to say that again.
I think they just have plans to take over the city and just control the city.
But they do control the city. That's it has to be something beyond that. It has to be something beyond that. It has to be something awful. It can't just be controlling the city.
Well, I think it's like to separate the city from the rest of the world.
Maybe, I guess. Anyway, so here we have, he doesn't just like find Moira, he comes in and smashes through the office.
Yeah, he says I need to pay a visit to my mother, and I thought that meant that he was going to go talk to her.
Yeah, but no, he goes as, you have failed the city. It's just brilliant. Oh.
Yeah,
and then Moira, look at her, she just like, she has this recognition on her face and sort of understands. It's just very...
Well, because I think that they've been sort of, her and Merlin have been kind of counting the minutes.
And then
finish talking about this episode before we talk about next week.
They've been counting the minutes until...
Waiting for the vigilante to show up because, you know, they're a part of this. And it's only a matter of time.
But her name is not in the book, as far as we know.
No,
right?
But they're at the top of all this stuff, and it's he's gonna figure it out one way or another, right?
Yeah.
That's why Merlin has taken it upon himself to run around in an outfit and tried to have Oliver killed before. So I think she's been expecting this a little bit. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it's a really great episode. The plot doesn't really move, but it also moves really fast.
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say, in all fairness, that's true.
The thing with Vance is really not important, except to get across, sort of the analogy of
betrayal.
Using Laurel and Detective Lance, as well as I think it moves. It moves Detective Lance's story forward a little bit, but it also moves Laurel and Oliver forward a little bit, which is nice. Because, who was it that said, I think it was Brandon, who said that the chemistry is intense. You can cut
it
with a knife.
It really is.
So,
which is upsetting.
No, it's great, but
Yeah,
because it's not necessarily romantic. I think that you're inferring that a little bit too much. There's a familiarity there. Yeah. I don't think that it's a. I don't think that it's a an Eros love thing. I think it's just like a
passion.
It's just a bond. Like, it's just that she feels something. There's a. She has gone from trusting the vigilante to being afraid of the vigilante
to now
trusting the vigilante again.
Right.
And I think at this point, recognizing something in the vigilante, I don't know that she's put it together yet.
But
she recognizes something in him that this is somebody that she knows, or at least somebody that knows her.
Yeah.
So, like, and like the fact that they are not willing to endanger her.
Right.
Regardless of what, and you know, it's interesting because I think right after her having this argument with her father and all the stuff that happens with them, she walks out into the parking lot, sees the vigilante. He does the opposite of what Detective Lance did this episode. And he says, I'm not putting you in harm's way.
Right.
I refuse, like, I am no longer, like, you're not to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Stay away from me. This is too dangerous. Whereas Detective Lance put her right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
A bridge too far. Like, he's crossed the line with this.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's going to have to pay for it sooner or later, right? I mean, there's definitely a tension between him and Laurel, but I think it's going to be something bigger than that, because I think that without her, he doesn't really have anything but his work.
And then it just,
and he can't trust anybody at work.
But that's the whole thing about superheroes and...
Yeah, so I think Detective Lance is being set up for a fall. Like, they're really, like, they're sort of putting him up on a pedestal just so that they can knock him off.
Down, I know.
But it's going to be good. Like, that's the thing, is that that's the kind of...
It's going to be good when Dinah Lance comes.
It's the good... This is the good kind of drama.
Yes.
Not the silly CW, like, drama.
But this is... And they mentioned the drinking again. Because we only saw him drinking once.
Yeah.
And it sort of has been implied, but it's been talked about now a couple times that he drinks.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, consuming his character yet.
But it is a subtext that I think that Paul Blackthorne puts into the character on a regular basis, because a lot of the time his actions, his physicality is that of somebody who is, like, he looks like he's coming down from something all the time, right? Especially in the high-pressure situations.
Right.
And I think that is... He needs a drink, right?
Right?
Like, he needs a drink in order to deal with it. And I'm not necessarily saying that, like, he's an alcoholic and that he's, you know, like, he's suffering from withdrawals.
But
I think that it's a physical choice that he's making, that every time he's in that situation, it's what I was saying.
Yeah.
He's so angry he could cry. Like, he's just so full of emotions that, like, he's kind of he's got a sweat going he's his equilibrium's a little bit off. Like, he seems unsteady and unstable.
Yeah.
But the great thing about it is that you don't know what the character's going to do. You can't predict it because there's kind of a craziness in his eyes. And we saw that, you pointed it out, in the scene where he busts in with the gun and he's going to shoot Vance.
Yeah.
And you're like, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And you know that Oliver's going to stop him, right? Like, you know that Oliver's going to stop him, because Oliver's done it several times.
Yeah.
Of, like, this is what I do.
Yeah,
I've already paid for it. Like, Oliver knows he's already walked down that
path. Yeah.
It's too late. He can't turn around.
Yeah.
But he can stop other people from having to.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of being the vigilante. Why would he come back and do all of this if not... Because, like, if he doesn't do it,
someone else has to. Yeah, yeah.
And so he's making a sacrifice.
Right.
And it's a conscious choice that he's making. And I think he's tried to express it to Diggle, but Diggle doesn't quite understand. Diggle keeps telling him, you got to let people in. You have to take care of your family.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, but I can't, because I have to be this thing.
Right.
I am not a man anymore. I'm much bigger than that.
Yeah.
That's not out of an arrogance thing. That's out of a, like, he's sacrificed his humanity in order to become a superhero, right? Whereas, like, Superman doesn't have... Superman has to gain humanity, and that's what makes that character interesting. Yeah. But with a character like Batman or Green Arrow, they lose their humanity and become engrossed in this hero thing.
Yeah, right? And I'll say that that's something that was, again, last week we talked about it a little bit, how near the end of the episode he came in sort of arrows ablazing or whatever and shot down the people in Count Vertigo's sort of posse. But before that, he hadn't really been killing people. Like, we hadn't seen that as much as since the first episode when he comes in and he just sort of takes those people down. And this episode, he comes in and he just shoots a whole bunch.
But we haven't been dealing with the same type of people for the last few episodes. Yeah, so I think that's one of the reasons why. I think that, that he's drawing a very clear line of like, if he's you're a security guard, I'm not going to kill you.
Yeah.
But if you're like a bystander, I'm going to rescue you. Yeah. If you're a victim, I'm going to rescue you.
Yeah.
If you are clearly a criminal, I'm going to rough you up.
Yeah.
If you are, if your intent is to kill,
I don't
care. Right. Like essentially, I think he recognizes in them what is in him, and that's that ability to take a life.
Yeah.
And when he sees that, he doesn't pull punches, right?
Yeah.
He can't afford to, first of all, because as we saw, 24 arrows is what it took to take all these guys out, right?
Yeah.
So, he needs to be a little bit less consistent with how many
arrows. I was going
to
say, that's a thing. How, that's just, it's useless. Why? You run out of arrows. They need something. That's why I feel what those, like, idea of in the future having, like, laser arrows, where just, like, they're replenishable. Or something. I don't know. It's upsetting.
I don't think it's that big of a deal because I think in this show we're not dealing with...
More than
with Hawkeye, minutes. It's a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, because, it is.
Because it's like... Thinking, I mean, Hawkeye against an army of aliens, he's going to run out of arrows. He doesn't run out of arrows in the movie.
Yes, he does.
But I...
Yeah.
But, you know, like it's that's a little bit like... It's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
That he lasted as long as he did in that, like, hour-long battle.
Yeah.
But for this show, because we're dealing with a much smaller scale, he's not going up against armies. Yeah, he's going up against...
24 bad guys.
Yeah, so I think for his purposes, between the arrows and his other pieces of weaponry, like his throwing knives, fourchettes, and whatever, that he can manage, right? And, like we saw last week, he doesn't need the bow.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll just use the bow to fight,
to hit people with.
So I think it's good. I don't think it's going to be an issue on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But I do think that every once in a while they'll use it as a plot device. But the way they used it in this episode was really brilliant. Clever.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as like a way of setting up like false stakes of like, now he's out of arrows. Like that's the thing that they used to do on Spider-Man all the time animated series is that Spider-Man would be web slinging and he's like, I gotta get there really fast because I gotta disarm a bomb. It's like, okay, the stakes are already high. And then his webbing would run out and he's like, oh no, I've run out of webbing.
Yeah.
And it would go to commercial break and then it would come back from commercial break and it would immediately be like, good thing I carry spares. And he would switch out the cartridge and keep going. And you're like, we know. Like,
And
every once in a while it would be like, oh, I'm all out of refills. Yeah. I knew I should have restocked my belt or something. Yeah. If he needed to be in a real tight situation, real sticky situation, because he's Spider-Man. But on this, it was a little bit more, it was less about showing Arrow's weakness and more about showing that Vance is not to be toyed with. Yeah. But at the same time, the unexpected element is that he would be working with Detective Lance.
Well, hire 27 guys. Anyways,
if you know it's going to be exactly 24, so you hire 25 guys, 24 of which are going to die, and then one guy with a gun. They would have been much safer if they'd had six guys with guns outside. But
anyways, But yeah, overall,
it's a tough economy,
it's,
Amanda.
Starling
City's on. It's rough in that city.
I guess.
And you know what? I think that the city's probably starting to run out of goons.
Maybe it's a hubris thing where he's like, no, I know that it's only going to be 20.
This is I won't use more because
I know exactly. Yeah. But anyways, that's glad that Arrow hasn't lost it, even though we've been gone for a couple episodes with the killing people. I think that it's nice that we just, it's this consistency of character. I haven't said that in a couple episodes, so.
Nice that he's killing people again.
I'm sorry, but you understand the tone of what I mean, yeah, right? No, he is who he is, and hasn't changed.
I'm just a little bit worried that you might be a sociopath.
Okay.
I think it's really nice. It's really great that he can kill people again.
I think that it's good.
I really missed it when he was killing people all the time.
Yeah.
It's all good. He is killing less though, and it's a little bit more justified. Yes. Let's say, but now we got next week, and we have some big predictions.
Watch this trailer? So we're watching this for next week, and this when we're talking about sexy like tension,
CW-ness.
They are playing that up next week, and then
we got Moira is gonna shoot Oliver, and then Oliver is screwed. And there's a voice that says something like, is he going to be all right or something? And Diggle's, or what's happening, I think is what she says.
Yeah.
And it's clearly a woman's voice.
Yeah.
And Diggle is like, oh, he's coding and he's trying to, because he's, Oliver's dying on the table.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, obviously. It's not called.
But that voice, it's a female voice. It's going to be only one of a few characters. He's going to get shot in Queen Industries building.
And who works in the Queen Industries building?
And who's he going to go to that he knows he can trust?
Yeah.
So Felicity's going to get brought in. If they're not tricking us,
I
can't trust the trailers anymore.
Yeah, we can't because they always they mislead us all the time.
So it could very well be two different pieces of dialogue taken from different places. Because we don't actually see Felicity but they wouldn't want to give that away.
Yeah.
But I believe that Felicity is in the Arrow Cave. Yeah. So
I believe somebody saves him, and it's not Diggle.
Yeah.
Right? Like, somebody, I think, okay, again, maybe we're totally misled, and maybe actually it is Diggle that came with him to the building. But anyways.
Yeah.
I think you're right, and I think that Felicity will, because they set that up, and again, it's not an immediate thing, right? They didn't reveal that Felicity knew a little bit more, and then the very next episode, she finds out that he's Arrow.
It took a break, she wasn't in this episode,
so it would make sense with the tones of these episodes that next week, she will actually get to come to the Arrow Cave, which would be interesting.
Very interesting.
Which would also add an extra layer, especially if he's hallucinating Laurel while he's dying, and then wakes up, and then now he's thrown in with Felicity, who becomes a part of the actual Arrow drama.
Yeah.
Arrow family, I guess, to quote Jeff. Or to Bryce. Whoever.
Brandon.
Yes. It's good.
Brandon.
So, yeah. Exciting things coming down the pipe.
Yes.
Look at what a packed episode of Quiver this was today. We had, like, a whole bunch of news. We had a whole bunch of tangential news that was really important that I'm glad you shared with us. Then we had two emails, and then a full packed episode, and next week's speculation.
Well, do you know the title of next week's episode? What's the title?
I do, because I had some time to write things in my planner. And I'm going to be a little nerd and look it up now. Because it's called Odyssey. Oh, well, obviously he's going to be unconscious for a lot of that episode then.
Yeah.
Okay. Odyssey is next week's episode. And I love how these titles actually tell us things, because now watching that trailer and then going here and reading it, I'm like, oh, of course that's the title of the episode.
It's not like Smallville, which would have all the titles in Smallville were one word.
Yeah.
And so, it would be identity, and it's like, oh, well, this is, he's going to learn about his secret identity. But some, like, they weren't like,
just very
like thematic, really. They were more like factual. But either that or they'd be completely off. Yeah, well, when he gets his heat vision or whatever. Yeah. But sometimes they'd be totally off. It's like Reckoning. And it's like,
all right. Reckoning. That's an awful title for that episode, actually. But Odyssey next week. And then the episode that I was waiting for, so Dodger as well is coming up. That'll be the episode after that. So we know that Arrow doesn't die next episode. I'm sorry, that's a spoiler. But because... If or maybe he does, because after that we have original Speedy coming to take over for Roy a Harper. Dead Arrow. Yeah, so yeah, maybe well, he does die.
Poor Stephen Amell,
who got cast, and it's like, just
and
kidding.
Dies in the first season. I think he's going to be fine, considering he's been... I think Steven posted on his Facebook. I mean, just using his first name now, like we're friends.
Yeah.
I'm just there already. He just doesn't
know it yet.
Now we sound like crazy people. But he posted on his Facebook that they've got about 10 weeks of shooting left.
Nice.
It's pretty crazy. Sad. There are even 10 weeks of episodes. They're going to be shooting right up until the end of the season.
That's crazy. Very exciting.
Great stuff, though. I'm really excited. Really excited for the rest of the season. 13 episodes. That means we got 10 episodes of Quiver left.
That's exciting.
Well, not of Quiver, of Arrow season 1.
Yeah.
And 10-ish episodes of Quiver before the end of the season. So,
yeah.
Exciting. Yeah. But that about does it for us. Yeah. So.
Thanks for a great episode. That was a great episode,
Mike. Yeah, it was good.
Good job.
It was good. But we need input from you guys. So you can follow us over on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Get in on the conversation. Facebook.com/QuiverPodcast.
Mm-hmm. I like the Twitters, though. That's my thing. So you can follow us at @QuiverPodcast or us personally. We tweet to you guys a lot. It's nice that you tweet us.
Yep.
I'm @AConkin. And
at @ArkWulf, ArkWulf.
Oh, and Konkin's with a K. AKonkin. It's a little tricky spelling. It is.
And you can always head to the website, quiverpodcast.com, and you can send us emails, mail@quiverpodcast.com. Yeah. We love getting emails. It's the greatest.
It's so fun! And we love getting other things, too. I've never gotten fan art before, and that was cool, too. Someone posted something on the Facebook page. And that is the coolest thing! It's so cool that people actually care about the show that we do. And because we care about it, obviously, we're here every week doing this for you. And we like to have a conversation with you about a really awesome show that just keeps getting better. So thank you for listening. Obviously, we wouldn't do it we probably would do it even if it was just for us, just to come over and like talk about this era. But it's better when people actually respond to it and write us emails, and we love to communicate with you. So keep doing that, because it's fun. We appreciate it.
Cool. Well, we will see you guys next week for another episode of Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Just bye.
I always have to say something at the end.
Bye.
Bye.
It's so unnatural, though, the way that you do it. You're like, bye. It's not just like, bye.
Bye. There, just edit that one in instead.
Yeah, just cut it. Nope. Now it's just going to be this. Now I'll cut here.
Oh dear.
Alright.
It's a long ass episode.
Yeah, because it'll be about an hour and a half.
Holy F monkeys.
Lots of problems.
Ooh, this is a good one because it proves into like our plans for or our predictions for next week with the Felicity thing. Mm-hmm. They're both emails sent from my iPhone. How can people type on their iPhones? I just
really easily. That's why so many people have them and use them and love them. You're the weird one.
No.
Yes, you are the anomaly in this situation.
Atrociously hard.
You're like an old person.
I'm not
complaining
like an old
because
person.
It's new technology
so
that you're afraid of.
It's not new technology I'm afraid of. I've been using it for a really long time. I had an iTouch before iPhones even were a thing. and I still hated it. Thought it was atrocious.
Oh, so then you're just a hipster. That makes it worse.
I'm not a hipster.
Yeah. You were on an island. Some people did some bad stuff. You shot some tennis balls and climbed up that thingy thing. Got a book.
It's a salmon ladder.
It's a what?
Salmon ladder.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Detective Lance.
I'm impressed that I know that that's a salmon ladder. I don't know how. I think I was watching this. So this is cool. Iron Heights Prison.
We're not at that part yet.
What?
We haven't even done the intro yet.
Still, I'm like, I can...
Save it.
Save it for the podcast.
Okay, you want to read one of these and I'll read the other one?
I would love to.
Okay, so I'm doing the intro.
Yes, please. We still haven't come up with an extra, okay?
That's up to you. I'm good with see you guys next week. That's generally what so you say much. When you're going to see people next week.
That's good. That's fine. Catch you later, Arrowheads.
Just no. Like you're trying way too hard. You're trying too hard, but you're not trying hard enough. That's the thing.
Painful. Okay.